Okay, listener, today we are joined by Ambassador Professor Iqbal Jazba, the Ambassador of South Africa to Eritrea. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's good to be on Kenyan radio and to be of some use towards a better understanding of the Horn of Africa.
Okay, today we are meeting actually in Hargeisa, and Hargeisa is actually a good town. What's your reflection on this tiny town?
I've come to this town of Hargeisa since the year 2000. My last visit here was in 2010, when there were presidential elections here. It was a short visit, but since my last visit of 2010, I've noticed huge growth. It's very visible as you drive from the hospital to the or from the airport towards the hotel. You can see the growth in hospitals, in universities, big buildings, business, and that has become evident. I think as many of the visitors to the Hargeisa International Book Fair have also witnessed the growth of new restaurants, which have added to the development of Hargeisa.
Okay, let's talk about the Hargeisa International Book Fair. You had a presentation. What was it about?
My presentation, which was requested by the organizers of the book fair, focused on the question of leadership and foreign policy. So in my presentation, I outlined, along with the foreign minister of Somaliland, my views on the question of the development of Somaliland's foreign policy. We essentially came to the same conclusion that clearly, while the leaders in Somaliland have had a very good and proud Pan-African history, historically speaking, from the founding president of Somaliland to the number of other key leaders who hosted African leaders on this Somali coast, what was needed is for us to come up with ways and creative ways where the younger generation knows about this Pan-African history, ways in which a practical program can be developed for links with writers, with engineers, with doctors, different sectors, so the Pan-African spirit is strengthened and advanced. Because there seems to be a fear amongst participants at the Hargeisa International Book Fair that the efforts and linkages with firstly the region as well as with the larger continent is not at the level it should be.
You're talking about the links between Somaliland and other parts of Africa. What is actually slowing this collaboration, this knowledge of knowing, first of all, Somaliland is a semi-autonomous country trying to seek recognition?
What we see is that in the early days of the Somali state, as it were, and it's in its history, there was a strong links with the continent at the Pan-African level. But with the collapse of the Somali state in 91, there were other pressing priorities. The pressing priority was security, to rebuild the country from almost ground zero to the point where they could find themselves on their feet. They made a lot of progress, at least in Somaliland, between the year 2000 and 2009 specifically, with developing links with countries like South Africa, with Rwanda, and a number of African states like Ghana. And I also know they have links with Kenya as well, at the level of at least having a robust discussion that what we have is two sides here. Broadly speaking, you have what is traditionally known as Somalia, and then in the northern part of what is conventionally known as Somalia is this entity called Somaliland. And Somaliland, as I've seen and witnessed personally over the years with electoral observers, they've developed a democratic tradition, they've developed basic institutions, because we always have to recall here they've started from ground zero. The place was flattened using, sadly, South African mercenary pilots. So that's part of the history. But South Africa, some of the other friendly states are saying, what can we do to help build a very, very young country? A country which has just turned 25 years old from 91 to this year. So even their own celebrations, they kept them a bit sedate because, as you know, generally in the Horn of Africa, there's been a severe drought. The shortage of water is an issue now in most parts of the continent, including South Africa. So they've used much of their energy and focus now on building the country. I think what has prevented the advancement of recognition has to do with a range of processes within the African continent and outside. Firstly, as we mentioned, there was good contact with Africa from the year 2000 to roughly 2009. But after that, the government had its own priorities of focusing on economic development. So subsequently, much of the energy was put in that direction, and almost the contact which they had developed with friendly African states had almost stopped, at least at the direct diplomatic level. There was informal contacts on NGO levels, business levels, institutional levels, but the contact at a government-to-government level did not take the shape people here in Somaliland would want to see it take shape. I've met a lot of people here who are very angry, in fact, and in some ways disappointed that a base was set up between 2000 to 2009, but after that it had stopped. But I get a sense now, the fact that the Foreign Minister of Somaliland, Dr. Saad Ali Shire, spoke with me on this panel, there is a sense that he is a new foreign minister, just newly appointed by this current government in Somaliland of President Silanio. And there's a view that they have to pick up what people are saying, that this link with Africa has to be renewed, strengthened, and advanced upon. So with that in mind, as you've seen, the foreign minister at the book fair gave a very good outline, and the link with Africa is paramount on his list of priorities, along with the fact that they would like to attract international direct investment. What you have at the moment, you see a lot of homegrown investments. I think it's a source of pride for all of us in the continent that Somalis from abroad are coming back, investing here in business, and I think it's so visible.
Okay, you're talking about governments to government kind of relations. But I think today, if you really want to succeed in diplomacy, there's also people-to-people relations. Do you think Somaliland has made those steps?
My sense is over the years that the Somaliland groups in London, outside of London, some of the key active Somaliland NGOs have also been quite active, because they, whenever they are invited to events outside, whether in Nairobi or Addis Ababa or Johannesburg, if they can attend, they will attend, because they see that as a great opportunity to relink with the civil society groupings, with friendly organizations outside of Somaliland. But I think in all of this, the big issue which has in some ways understandably been the priority is to focus on developing the country. I think we always have to imagine this country was on ground zero. I know the other day when I posted on Facebook a picture of the restaurant Lali's we went to the other day, one of my close colleagues who came with me from, he's from the University of Johannesburg, his response was that when we went there, this place was on ground zero. Now you can see the young people returning, and they are the true nation builders. They are rebuilding restaurants, buildings, and putting all the basic infrastructure in place. So I think the role of regional countries like Kenya, friendly countries as well, like Sudan, South Sudan, is to do all that is possible to help in redeveloping the infrastructure of the country, one. Number two, making known the case of Somaliland, because they feel they've been unfairly treated, they feel neglected, and they feel that their voice is not being heard. Of course, we understand in global politics there's lots of issues crying out for attention. So in this context, they have made efforts to make their voice heard, but I think more can be done. And I'm happy, like the Kenyan Broadcasting Authorities, the corporation is here, writers from Kenya, authors, poets from Uganda, Ghana, and from different corners of the world. Even for myself, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for me to relink with this part of the world to see where issues are and how do we then get a better understanding of the Horn of Africa so we could develop the type of approaches, policies, which are suited and tailored to the immediate needs of Somaliland and the region.
Okay, you mentioned something there that I think I'll take you back. You said this country has made attempts for recognition, but is not really forthcoming as they expect. Quickly, let's divide that question into two and ask, what are these points that you have that really can portray Somaliland to be ready for recognition?
The issue of international recognition of any country, in most cases that I know in Africa, even outside of Africa, it is a lengthy process. So Somaliland from the year 2000 to 2009 made a lot of progress. For example, there was a number of legal international opinions on the case of Somaliland's international recognition case. For example, the African Union came up with a lengthy legal opinion saying that in terms of international law, Somaliland has a strong case. There were a number of fact-finding missions from the African Union Commission, led by the former chair of the African Union Commission. They all were of the view that if there is peace and stability in a very tormented Somali coast, then our task is to advance that stability through every way possible. What is required is for the government of Somaliland, because ultimately it's a Somaliland case, for them to re-energize this file. As I mentioned earlier, the file stopped almost at 2009, and now there's a feeling in the government to re-energize that connection and advancement of the Somaliland International Recognition Project. So with that in mind, I think this international book fair convened here in Hargeisa, along with other seminars and roundtables they've done themselves within their own foreign ministry, I think is laying the basis for some forward movement. I think as we speak now, the foreign minister of Somaliland is in Kenya, to once again reconnect, re-energize, rebuild on the existing foundations, either at the government level, at the level of the development partners level, because the current foreign minister of Somaliland is the previous national development minister, so he understands this interplay between international recognition and development questions. So the manner in which the government of Somaliland will proceed in the coming days and months will ultimately determine the result the government of Somaliland and its people, as we could see from discussions yesterday and day before yesterday, are passionately about.
Okay. Let me throw this question back in a different way. Yes, you said African Union is doing something about it. Will it be wrong for any African country to recognize Somaliland? Or will that be against AU procedures and so on?
My sense is there would be nothing untoward, but it would have to go through the correct channels and processes. we've seen how the question of self-determination of South Sudan proceeded. Simply put, there was a peace agreement signed where between Sudan and South Sudanese leaders, where they agreed there will be a trial period of trying to be one Sudan. If that doesn't work, there was the option of the referendum, which the South Sudanese leaders opted for. So the referendum was held. And the referendum, basically, the majority of the people wanted independence. And as a result of that process, the next step was the formal declaration of independence of South Sudan. So if it all depends on how African states will respond. My sense is, as it stands, a number of African states, like Rwanda, have brought the case of Somaliland to the African Union's Peace and Security Council. I think the weakness, and it's a weakness which the government of Somaliland, many of its institutions have acknowledged, is that they did not balance their priorities and only focused on development from 2009 until now, 2016. And the file went dormant. So if they had proceeded with the file, they would have made some progress. So the ball really is in the court of the people of Somaliland and its government.
Okay, let's move a bit away from that. Let's talk about Somaliland and South Africa. What is the relations between these two countries? I mean, you're the ambassador in the region, also doubling up here in Somaliland.
My essential role was I was South Africa's accredited ambassador to the state of Eritrea for 4 years and 3 months. I've just rounded up. And I then accepted the invitation to come and address the Hargeisa International Book Fair on the question of foreign policy and leadership. For a while, South Africa has been very active in the Horn of Africa region on the basis that the African Union Commission and the heads of states had asked South Africa to chair the African Union's Post-Conflict and Reconstruction Committee. So on that basis, at the government level, the government got involved in the reconstruction of South Sudan, the surrounding areas of Sudan through different projects. Even within the ruling party, and the governing party of the South African government, the ANC, the African National Congress, there was a Sudan task team to give focused attention to both Sudan and South Sudan. I was tasked to be chairperson of that Sudan task team within the ANC. We made a number of visits and had a number of projects in South Sudan. So the long and short of it is that the essential development and engagement duties lies with the regional countries. But where South Africa is asked to be actively involved, it will consider a request and balance that with its priorities. So, for example, the current president of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, wrote to the South African president a few years ago asking that South Africa continue its engagement, its projects to develop the ruling party within South Sudan, the SPLM. And it's in that context the South African President Zuma appointed the current Deputy President of South Africa, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, as the Presidential Special Envoy in South Sudan to stabilize the situation, to help in the development of the party, to see how we could get things forward. We do know there's a long road ahead because South Sudan is the youngest country in Africa. Likewise, we could say the same about many of the Somali regions, Somali areas like Somalia, where as an emerging young entity and country, it has to be supported, to be given whether it's moral support, intellectual exchange, concrete exchanges. So since 2000 up till more concretely 2009, there were a whole range of projects. supporting the electoral commission here, because this area of Hargeisa, Somaliland, has a very positive history when it comes to elections. They've had local government elections, they've had parliamentary elections, they've had presidential elections. And the good thing with the presence of international observers, they have found the elections to be fair and free. Fair to the extent that the processes put into place were pretty good. For example, I know our South African Independent Electoral Commission was able to let go of one of its most able persons in logistics for a year. So he came here, helped with the setting up of the logistics system, the rural areas, and the cities, for an electoral voting mechanism. In addition to that, the contact between universities is strong. University of Pretoria, University of Hargeisa, and the universities have also recognized the good work being happening here. We have the founder and director of the Edna Hospital. She was given a gold medal by the University of Pretoria's Center for Human Rights for her sterling work in setting up a maternity hospital from ground zero, literally ground zero. A hospital is built on a rubbish dump, which was traditional area. It was clean, the land. Now she's moving to the next step from a hospital to a university. Many such cases where we felt as South Africa to get involved and engaged.
Okay, let's go back to history a little bit, because some people in the Horn of Africa might not know that Somalia was very important in the freedom struggle in South Africa. Can you just expound exactly how it is a relevant country to South Africa?
During the brutal struggle, it was quite a challenging struggle to defeat apartheid. And at a time when there were very few friendly countries, many of the leaders of the ANC, like the late president of the African National Congress, Oliver Tambo, and many of the related leaders of the African National Congress, the ANC, like former President Mbeki, many of his ministers, like former Minister Isopad, received a lot of hospitality in this region. And at that time also, the Somali leaders, who were all congregated in the capital of Mogadishu, the Somali government at that time hosted a lot of former Organization of African Union summits. So they not only helped the ANC by hosting people, but gave funding and support to the ANC. So the leaders of the ANC remember that very clearly. Also, what is little known, within the United Nations, you had Somali diplomats who were very strong in their support against the apartheid regime. So one of their key Somali diplomats headed the UN Center Against Apartheid. We know countries like Nigeria chaired that, but so did Abi Farah chair that, Somali diplomat. He's alive. He comes from Berbera, just around the corner here from Hargeisa. He's a very capable man, a man who is very well known amongst key South African political leaders for the role he played. We have here in Somaliland, like Saeed Jama, who's at the Hargeisa International Book Fair at the moment, and he's a person who has a rich history of the fact that he had to host South African political leaders of the ANC. And I was very pleased when I spoke to him a day ago that he's rekindled the contact with our South African leaders. So there is that history, historical background. And so when the leaders here from Somaliland visit South Africa, there's a reconnection of sorts, a rekindling of that solidarity which existed. And the view was all right, now Somaliland is down, Somalia is down, the time has come for South Africa to do what it can possibly do to help. I also recall former President Mbeki has a weekly letter. In one of his letters, he mentioned the hospitality received by South African ANC leaders, from Somali leaders, and that is something documented. But I believe clearly this is a history we need to probe into, and I hope one day one of the young researchers at the master's level or doctoral level will do a proper research project to bring this fully to the fore and make it known to the current generation, so that this very proud history, very strong, rich history is known.
I think we're coming to the end of our interview. I'll just ask you a general question about Africa and Somaliland. Let's talk about young people and how they participate in politics and nation building, looking at Somaliland and other parts of Africa, or looking at Africa and bringing that to Somaliland.
I think within the continent of Africa, in many parts of the African continent, whether it's Kenya, whether it's South Africa, whether it's Ethiopia, I see some signs of young Africans who believe we have a rich continent, and a continent we need to know more about, a continent where the links between the youth have to be strengthened, whether it's in literature, poetry, politics, a range of sectors, and clearly more can be done. So I was very happy here at the Ergisa International Book Fair that it has reached another level. And now the fact that we're in the age of WhatsApp, Viper, Twitter, Facebook, that arrangement and strengthening of links can be fast-tracked. It does not mean that we discard the culture of reading, but we all know we all are living in a very fast global age, age where people have more duties, more responsibilities, so they have to work much more harder than was the case previously. But I think we all owe it to ourselves first, and owe it to our fathers and grandfathers, who left us with such a profoundly rich heritage, to strengthen and develop this interconnection between young Africans at all levels possible. I don't see it as inconceivable. I see many, many positive signs of that happening. But it also at times requires some drivers, some champions. So we have a wonderful group of champions here in the Hargeisa International Book Fair: Jame Musa Jame, Zahra, Komon, Ayan. We need more of that, so that within every capital we could see that level of robustness, of vitality.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Iqbal, for talking to KBC.
It's my pleasure to be on KBC, and I look forward to being on KBC again.